One of the biggest problems we face in America today is absentee fathers. Many children are growing up today without a father in the home. It was Barack Obama who told us what happens when you remove a father from the home. You're 9 times more likely to end up in prison, 6 times more likely to drop out of high school, 12 times more likely to live a life of poverty. It's time we return to doing things God's way.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
In John chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus said, "You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it." So here we see that Jesus tells us that the devil is the father of lies, and when he speaks a lie, that he speaks of his own resources. And many of the things that we see happening that are negative in our culture, in fact, really all of them, are justified by lies and brought in by lies. Abortion was brought in on the national level with Roe versus Wade by a lie. Norma McCorvey, who was Jane Roe, was not raped. And even if she had been raped, we should, if we're going to execute someone, the Bible says to execute the rapist, not to execute the rapist child. But we see so many things happening by lies, and that includes this radical ideology that a man can change to a woman, or a woman can change to a man, that a boy can change to a girl, and a girl can change to a boy. This is a lie, and it's from the pit of hell, yet it is something that has been bought and sold to the American people. In a video, there's a video documentary or a video that actually discusses this called "The Monster Behind Gender Theory and the Atrocious Lies He Based on It." In this video, Jordan Peterson and Dr. Miriam Grossman talk about Dr. Money, and he had this idea that really gender was not fixed. It's not based on chromosomes. It's actually based on, it's just a social construct, and you can be whatever gender that you want to be. And in fact, if you take a child before the age of 2 or maybe 3, and you raise that child as the opposite gender, that child will not know. So there was a family that had twin boys, and the twin boys were supposed to be circumcised. And during the circumcision process, the first of the twins to be circumcised, the machine actually malfunctioned, and his male organ was actually damaged. Not just the foreskin, but the entire male organ, and this had to be removed. And so they heard, a few months later, they were watching TV, and they saw a doctor named John Money. He happened to be on TV, and he was talking about how you could raise a boy as a girl, and it would work. And the Reamer family sought him for this solution. He was a professor. He was a doctor. He was at John Hopkins University, and they actually went up and talked to him, and he said that male and female are not innate, and it's not based on chromosomes or hormones. And he suggested castrating young Bruce and making a makeshift vagina. and that he would be raised. They would, the family would give him a girl's name, that they would raise him as a girl. They would help have him play with dolls, and that he would grow up to be a girl. And he had this concept, again, that male and female was imposed by society, that it was a social construct. And Bruce was his experiment. And this has been sold to the American people and sold to the world as a huge success, but it was anything but a success. This was a huge failure that resulted in the death of Bruce and his brother and the destruction of their family. And as Jordan Peterson says, the perversion of an entire society. And what we see here is that they actually went along with this. Once a year, the family would go visit Dr. Money, and Dr. Money was reporting on what was happening and telling people that this was a huge success. And people believed that it was a huge success. And he was receiving a lot of attention. He was receiving a lot of accolades. This was, by the way, in the 1960s when the sexual revolution was going on, when people really wanted to break free from norms and wanted to not be bound by some of the cultural norms of, well, you wait until marriage and a man should marry a woman and you should not just go out and have sex with whomever you want to, but you should actually be faithful to your spouse. And so what you actually see is this experiment, which gave him the opportunity to validate his theory. And he was again reporting that everything was going great, that Bruce, whose name was actually changed to Brenda, but in his research, Dr. Money called Brenda Joan, he said she was doing great, that she was adjusting, that she was a bit of a tomboy, but enjoyed playing with dolls and mimicking her mom. And again, he received lots of praise for this and attention and accolades. And really, people thought, wow, this is great. So many people just bought this. But what really happened was something totally different. And it wasn't until decades later that the truth actually came out. In 1998, Bruce, who didn't go by Brenda anymore, but by David, stood up and blew the cover and said that the whole thing was a hoax. He said that he not only was he living as a man, but he was married to a woman, had three adopted children, and worked as a janitor in a slaughterhouse. David revealed what it was like to be told that he was a girl for 14 years, when he really never felt like that was true. During all those years, he wasn't happy playing with dolls. He wasn't happy wearing dresses. He wanted to play with his brother and play with his brother's toys. He actually, even though he didn't have a male sex organ, he still wanted to pee standing up. He was rough. He was so boyish that and aggressive that kids called him Cave Woman and made fun of him because of the way he walked. His gestures and his interests were also masculine. He was a miserable child, and his family was miserable. On top of everything else, Dr. Money, actually, when the boys would visit, would actually sexually abuse the boys, have them perform act out sex acts and show them pornographic pictures. This was horrible. In a video that you can actually watch, if you go to the website, go to our website to look for this video, you'll actually be able to see a link. We'll actually have a link to the video from Dr. Peterson and also Dr. Grossman. And And you can see in that a video of David. There are other videos on YouTube of David speaking out against this. And he said, my parents didn't know a lot of things that were going on. It was, if they had known, it never would have happened. By me not saying anything, the medical community was under the impression that my case was a success story. I was shocked when he heard that they thought that his case was a success story. David's twin brother actually died of an opioid overdose, and David eventually died of suicide. Jordan Peterson said this experiment couldn't have possibly gone more catastrophically wrong than it did. Not only was Dr. Money saying not true, what is not true in a technical scientific sense, it was an anti-truth, and he falsified the data. And it culminated in the death of two people, the demolition of a family, and the perversion of an entire culture. And Dr. Miriam Grossman adds this, that Dr. Money never publicly apologized for lying. And again, we need to realize that the devil is a liar. And we need to question what is being told us and actually ask and look for the truth. What we see, there are many people, by the way, many men and women, boys and girls that have gone through these transitioning that have realized that it didn't make their life better, that it made their life worse, and they are now what is called detransitioners. And we talked about a month ago, we actually talked about Chloe Cole and shared about her experience and how she transitioned to be a male, a boy, and then detransitioned to be a female, which is what God created her to be. There's another, one of the male detransitioners is Brian Wagner. When he was in his 20s, he was extremely alienated. He had a drug problem. He was actually addicted to drugs, and he was also addicted to pornography. And he developed a sex fetish through this addiction to pornography, and he sought help from a therapist. And the therapist told him, well, you know, you're really not a man, not a boy. You're not really not a man. You're a woman, and your brain is just like my brain is. And that therapist put him on testosterone blockers and estrogen, and he had his facial hair removed. And you know, he thought he was really going to get better, but his problems actually got worse. In fact, he had more problems than he had before. When he got sober, got off the drugs, he began to have gender dysphoria when people treated him as a woman. And he said that it was his detransitioning was like him leaving the Twilight Zone. He now feels like collateral damage for a movement that he's not even part of. He said, they completely ignore me. They don't want to hear these stories. But my story is real. My pain is real. I just thank God every day of my life that I never had any plastic surgery. I took hormones, and they messed me up. I had my facial hair removed, but I do believe that I'll be able to bounce back from this. And sadly, there are young men and women that are going through not just hormonal treatment, but they're actually going through plastic surgery, where with boys, in some cases, they're actually removing their male organ and taking some of the skin plus part of their colon to make a fake vagina that actually is an open wound that has to be treated all the time. It can become infected. And with girls, they're removing their breast, as Chloe Cole had a double mastectomy and hasn't healed from that to this day. And we see this attack on boys and girls, on men and women. And we really need to get back to the Bible. We need to get back to God's created order. When we look at the Bible, from the foundation of the world, we see this, that in the beginning, God created the earth, the heavens and the earth, and he created man, male and female. So in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So here we see in God's created order, God creating humans as male and female. And God creating this, and for the purpose of population and repopulating the earth, and really being fruitful and multiplying, you know, it takes more than two children per couple to actually maintain the same population level. And God commands here to be fruitful and multiply, which is not something that homosexuals can do without the help of someone of the opposite sex. It's not something that's biologically possible for two men to create a baby, or for two women to create a baby. It's also not possible if you have had your male or female organs removed and you've been, as a male, castrated, or as a female, you've had your ovaries removed and you've had surgery to remove your vagina and add this, some sort of something that looks like a male sex organ. This is something that definitely is not natural. It's not normal. It is an attack on young boys. It's an attack on young girls. It's an attack on men. It's an attack on women. It's a lie from the pit of hell, and we need to reject it and follow God's principles and God's standards. We need to follow his created order. We read from Genesis chapter 2 more detail on the creation of Adam, and also the creation of Eve in verse 18. And then God said, the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was his name. So Adam gave names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable to him. So God here creates all the animals of the earth and brings them to Adam, kind of to show him, hey, you know what? These may be great, but they're not what's designed for you. And Adam, you know, names all the animals and the birds, and certainly many of us have grown to know various animals. And most of Americans have a dog or a cat or a bird or something, and there's a level of intimacy that we can experience with them. There's a level of comfort that we can experience with those animals, but we can't communicate with them on a human level. It's only with humans that we can communicate with them. So what happened is in verse 21, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." And so here we see God actually taking a portion of Adam, his rib, and making out of Adam, making out of that rib, a woman. And of course, this is supernatural. But he brought Eve to Adam, and some have said, I have said, that Adam looked at her and said, "Whoa, man." He was impressed that God had, you know, it's amazing the beauty of a woman. And God has created us that way. He's created us men to appreciate the beauty of a woman. Now, we are supposed to reserve that affection for one. If you're not married yet, that means waiting and reserving that affection for your future spouse, looking forward to that day. And if you are married, that means being rejoicing in the wife of your youth, not looking at every woman that walks down the street and saying, "Wow, I wonder what she looks like without clothes on," and looking at women on pornographic websites or on your smartphone or, you know, magazines or videos. No, we need to be faithful to the wife of our youth and appreciate that God has created women to be beautiful. And you know, he could have just created women ugly, but he didn't. He created women beautifully. But we need to reserve that, our affection for the wife of our youth. Jesus also, in Matthew chapter 19, verses 3 through 9, actually reaffirmed this created order. And we see, beginning of verse 3, the Pharisees came to him, testing him and saying, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh.' So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate." They said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away?" He said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you that whoever divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, and marries another, commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." And here Jesus reaffirms this order that God created humans, male and female. It's not like Dr. Money that said that, hey, you can be a man if you want to be a man, or you can be a woman if you want to be a woman, especially if you start early enough. No, we need to follow God's standard. And God says that God creates us male and female. And there are, by the way, biological differences between men and women. There are chromosomal differences. There's even differences in the brain. We talked about that about a month ago when we talked about this subject. And so we need to realize and to accept this standard. And God also has set this standard so that in marriage, that a man should cleave to his wife, and the two would become one, and they would not be separated just because they can't get along. I mean, get along. Just get along. It's not easy, but but we are called to get along. And by the way, if you don't get along with your spouse that you have now and you go out and get another spouse, very likely you'll have problems getting along with that spouse as well. We need to die to ourselves and serve one another and be faithful to one another. And this is that family that comes about that can in very, very many and very often can produce children and fulfill the original command to be fruitful and multiply. We find ourselves in a situation, and there are people, perhaps even people listening, that have not obeyed God in these situations, whether we're talking about homosexuality, or we're talking about attempting to change your sex, or maybe even the sex of your child, or whether we're talking about not being faithful to the wife of your youth or the husband of your youth. This is something that we need to repent of our sins. And the Bible tells us and gives us hope in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. And so we see here from the Bible, from Scripture, such were some of you. Listen, if you've been living in sin, Jesus can set you free from that sin. He can redeem you from that sin. He can transform you. He can help you to live your life as the person He has created you to be. And He can even heal the hurts of the past and help you to live a fulfilled life. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
One of the biggest problems we face in America today is absentee fathers. Many children are growing up today without a father in the home. It was Barack Obama who told us what happens when you remove a father from the home. You're 9 times more likely to end up in prison, 6 times more likely to drop out of high school, 12 times more likely to live a life of poverty. It's time we return to doing things God's way.
Play football, a big, big house.